run the services in the same inefficient way as they're being run at the moment. Now, this has got to go. This is a myth. We are actually looking at ways of running services much better. My own council, and I'm sure others, are at this moment taking every single service and looking and seeing how we can change it and run it better. We, for example, are doing a study on multi-purpose inspectors. We believe that you can look at more than one thing at the same time. Now, if we looked at the function and ran it better, that is what we're all about, and we will without doubt make the savings.
Can we talk about one of those functions, the money that can be saved by having a single authority to take care of London-wide services like waste disposal and the fire brigade? Now, surely that is a saving.
No, you see, even waste disposal is very, very interesting. The boroughs that are interested in this, and in particular Bromley's taken a lead, they have worked out that there could definitely be savings made if we all sorted ourselves out into groups. And we've already made arrangements for that. We even know the borough councils that we will go with. You mustn't think, and nor must the rest of the city think, that the boroughs don't know what they're doing. If you would have faith in your local council, you would find you'd get a really much better deal. It really is, to me, very worrying to consider that something which used to be remote, don't let's forget that all this flurry of activity is a very new happening with the GLC telling you what it's doing all the time. It is only 2 years ago that Ken Livingstone said himself that there was no role for the GLC and it should go. He's absolutely right. Now the next fight is how are we going to provide these services, the ones that should continue. I'm not talking about the silly nonsenses that go on, but the genuine functions, the real day-to-day services. How can we produce them and in a better way? This country suffers, always has done, from carrying on doing things in the old traditional way because that's the way it's always been done. I say there are new ways and we must look at these new ways and we will make improvements and we will make savings.
But isn't the government's own case weakened by all this tinkering into the abolition bill which has been going on in the House of Lords? And just to take up your point, if those proposals do go through, then who's going to look after what? Because we're going to have a London-wide authority, aren't we, looking after some things and the boroughs looking after other things. Isn't that going to be more costly in the long run?
Well, I think that where the Lords are concerned, I mean, the fact that their lordships have exercised themselves immensely and come up from the shires and fallen out of their armchairs wherever else they've come from, to comment on what actually they, with all due respect, don't really understand.
Well, who says they don't understand
it? Well, I'm
it?
Going to say they don't understand it because...
Well,
a
that's
lot
your
of,
opinion. Let's make that clear,
well,
because that's
of,
your opinion that they don't understand.
Well,
a lot of people will say they do.
A lot of people, though, will remember, and let me just say why I don't think they understand. They think it's the cosy old days of the LCC. There are a lot of very eminent people in the House of Lords who do understand the way it used to be. I must make myself clear. I'm talking about the way it is now.
But a lot of people in the House of Lords should understand the way it is now, Lady Porter, don't they?
There may be some of them, but if I can just carry on and say that the point that I'm trying to make is that the world has moved on and we are into a different situation. So whether or not their lordships know what they're doing and whether or not what they have said must happen will happen, I don't know, because as I understand it, there will at some stage be a decision taken by the government as to how much they take into account what their lordships have suggested, because I believe that it is a regulatory body rather than a decision-taking body.
And there, sadly, I'm afraid we must leave it. As always, time catches up. In fact, we're way over time. But Lady Porter, thank you very much for joining us. It is a very interesting and controversial question. One of the controversial questions you have brought up yourself is bidding people to have faith in their local councils. I wonder how many people have faith in their particular borough council. It's 16 minutes past nine.
Tickets, please. Thank you, sir.
Tickets, sir? Oh, intercity executive ticket, eh?
Yes.
Will you come with me, please?
Is there some sort of problem?
Just follow me, if you would, sir.
What is this? Wrong train, wrong class. It's that secretary again. She's got the ticket wrong.
Well, that's it. She's finished.
This way, sir.
Happy Christmas.
It may be the middle of summer, but if you buy an intercity executive ticket from London between June the 3rd and 28th, you'll think it's Christmas. Because with every executive ticket comes a full day's car hire, absolutely free, courtesy of Godfrey Davis Europe Car. Ring Teledata on 01200 0200 for full details. And may we wish you a very merry June and a prosperous July. Intercity. We're getting there.
9:17, world football's governing body FIFA is expected to impose sanctions against English football today over the disaster in Brussels, where 38 people died. English and Italian footballers are meeting for the first time on the field since the disastrous game in Brussels. The English and Italian national teams are playing a friendly in Mexico City, and in a gesture of reconciliation, the players are coming onto the field in one group. Scotland Yard's anti-terrorist squad is investigating an explosion at a travel agency in Stanmore. The Israeli-owned business was damaged, but no one was hurt. However, it's played havoc with the traffic this morning. London Road in Stanmore is closed, or a section is closed between the A5 and Court Drive, and the resultant effect is that there's no access from the A41 to Spur Road. And Mrs. Thatcher's expected to announce a pay rise today for the nurses. It's thought they'll get about 8%, but the unions fear the government will rob funds intended for patients to give the nurses their money. Now, the weather, it could hardly be worse, really, for a June day, or for a November day, come to that, really. Dull, drizzly and misty this morning, heavy rain at times this afternoon and evening. It's 12 centigrade, 54 Fahrenheit, moving to 18 centigrade, 64 Fahrenheit. In the next 40 minutes or so of AM until 10 o'clock, we're going to cheer ourselves up a bit as much as we can by listening to some super music and, of course, greeting Michelle Berrydale Johnson, our food expert. It's 9:18.
Who goes west when the south is best? The Whig Kick Centre, the southwest end. It's bigger and it's better. Do your shopping at your leisure, because they've got it all together at the Whig Kick Centre. Make for your mother, or a string for your brother, or a ring for your lover, or a music centre. Who goes west when the south is best? The Whig Kick Centre, the southwest end. You can get a Spanish bed, you can get a double bed, and you'll get them all together at the Whig Kick Centre. Skirts and tops and sprouts and drops in bigger, better shops at the Whig Kick Centre. Who goes west when the south is best?
The Whitgift Centre, Croydon, a great place to shop.
Well now, the name Morris Oberstein may not be immediately familiar to many people listening, but to anyone in the record business, Morris Oberstein means the most successful record company in Britain. He joined CBS Records 20 years ago, became managing director 10 years later, and retires as chairman this month. His influence on the company has been enormous, and certainly it's one of the prime factors behind their large share today of the singles market, more than any other company. Morris Oberstein, good morning. Nice to see you.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for getting up early this morning. Hasn't always been like that, the most successful company in the country, has it?
No, it hasn't. We've had the British EMI and Decca, who were here before us, but we're okay.
Just tell us what you've actually been in that 20 years. What have you...
Well, I started out because the company was a licensed company to Philips, to Phonogram, and in 1965 took over its own destiny, which consisted of a small British company called Oriole Records.
That's right.
And we had at that time, they had at that time, taking on the CBS catalog more than they could handle. So I was brought in as the resident expert to run the factory and distribution. And
So you were marketing director at that time, were you?
Was I was just your ordinary, that's right, your ordinary American know-it-all.
And you worked your way through managing director and then became chairman.
I outlasted them all. I was the last American, and they had to give the job to someone.
What did you do before they gave that job to someone? Did you run your own company?
I was born into the record business. My father ran RCA Records during the heyday of Duke Ellington and Tommy Dorsey and Harry James and those artists, and I sort of perhaps followed the English tradition of it being in the family, and eventually I took on his mantle. I found it easier to go through the revolving door when he pushed it for me.
Well, now we're going to establish your place in the company and some of the records over your reign, so to speak, in just a moment. First of all, we break off for sport. We always ask our guests at this stage of the game whether they follow any particular type of sport. Do you?
I find it difficult to explain to American visitors that come through that I actually have learned to understand and sleep through cricket, but otherwise I follow it at some distance nowadays.
You couldn't have said a worse thing, really, because Dominic Allen is our cricket expert, and he's blanched visibly.
I'm all for the understanding the game, the sleeping bit, we'll talk about later.
Yeah, something more serious in football, you're going
to say. Yes, I'm afraid so, Bob. More sanctions against English football are expected to be announced from Zurich this afternoon following last week's disaster in Brussels. FIFA, the world governing body of the game, has indicated that the punishment will be more than a fine. FIFA has wide-ranging powers, including the expulsion of a nation. The European Football Union has already banned English clubs indefinitely from their club competitions. Tonight, England play Italy in a friendly international in Mexico City, from where Steve Tung says both sides will be anxious to repair some of the damage done in Brussels.
The poignant coincidence which has brought the two countries together so soon after Brussels means that football itself is on trial again, on the field and on the terraces where the small group of English supporters will stand. All this has pushed into the background England's preparations for what everyone assumes will be a World Cup campaign next summer, as they get their first real run out at 7,000 feet. And it makes talk of the respective merits of Stevens, Waddle and Barnes seem a little tasteless. As if to emphasise the unimportance of the fixture itself, up to 32 players could be used, with 5 substitutes instead of the usual 2 available to each manager. Steve Tung, IRN Sport, Mexico City.
In Bergen last night, Norway beat Wales by 4-2. Steve Lovell and Mark Hughes were the Welsh goalscorers. The England rugby selectors have announced an unchanged team for the second test against New Zealand at Wellington on Saturday. They're only injury-wise over the Wakefield wing three-quarter Mike Harrison, who has a slight hamstring strain. Nick Wilshire is the new Commonwealth light middleweight boxing champion. He won the title at the Royal Albert Hall when he stopped the holder Ken Salisbury after 2 rounds. And Duke McKenzie won the vacant British flyweight title. He stopped Danny Flynn in the 4th. Leicestershire reached the semi-finals of the Benson and Hedges Cup when they beat Hampshire by 4 runs at Southampton, but the other 3 quarter-finals were all affected by the weather. They hope to complete them today. Jimmy Connors reached the semi-finals of the French Open Tennis Championships when he beat Stefan Edberg in straight sets. He'll play even Lendl for a place in the final, Lendl having beaten Martin Jehad 6-4, 6-2, 6-4. The Derby winner Slip Anchor will run in the King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Diamond Stakes at Royal Ascot next month, and also in the St. Ledger, and he'll be kept in training as a 4-year-old. His main objective then will be the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. The Coronation Cup will be run at Epsom this afternoon. There's also racing at Carlisle. Colin Turner's selections at Epsom are number 6, Prince Liff in the 235, and number 8, Rainbow Quest in the 340. That's today's nap. The best at Carlisle is number 8, Spacemaker Boy in the 315. There's also afternoon greyhound racing at Hackney and Monmore. Jim Bailey's selections are Tormore Hill from Trap 5 in the 3-2 at Hackney, and Lucky Tiger from Trap 4 in the 455 at Monmore Green.
If anyone was to ask me whether I had a top 10 favourite of all time, I think the Byrds' Mr. Tambourine Man must come on the list somewhere. One of the most tremendous records. And I think I'm right in saying, Maurice Oberstein, it was the first CBS UK number one record.
That's right. As CBS became a wholly owned company in its own destiny, it had number one records that were licensed through to Philips during the heyday of licensing rather than one's own company. But it was our first number one that we felt that we delivered.
Because of those Philips days, there was Guy Mitchell and Johnny Ray and people like that, wasn't there?
That's right, making Philips rich and famous instead of CBS.
How did you, a chemical engineer, decide to go into the business? I know you said you were born into it, but why go in for chemistry anyway?
It was one of those things that being of a family that was doing okay, they send their kids in America to university, where they really aren't any good for anything or not. It's sort of a thing that you do.
You
aspire more for your children. Yeah. I think that's perfectly understandable. Mm-hmm. So I went on to engineering school because I think that was a fairly neutral direction to take, since, as it's turned out, engineering fits in almost everywhere.
Did you share your father's tastes of big bands and things like that?
When they were played loud, they kept me awake. Just like, as I said earlier about cricket, I have difficulty that way, you can see.
Morris, you are far too young, are you not, to retire in the way that we mean retire? You're obviously just going to change jobs, aren't you?
I would hate to say that over the air. I'd rather feel that the objectives that I set out for myself have been reached. Perhaps the Bob Paisley, Bill Shankly thing, we're the champions.
We've
done it. It's wonderful to have done it. It has become a little less interesting to come in and do it again.
Yeah, but Bob Paisley and Bill Shankly are a lot older than you.
They just look old. Gretchen 2000 does a lot for you.
Listen, how much personal influence did you have on the hit records that CBS has had over the years?
I think all the entire success has been dependent upon me. Perhaps Bruce Springsteen and Barbara Streisand and Simon Garfunkel have contributed something, but without me, I don't know whether they would be household names today.
Come on now. It's not always the artist. There's a heck of a lot in the marketing and the way a record is presented, isn't there?
I think the essence of our success has been running a music business and entertainment business as a business. Mm. We've approached in a business-like way. We have Ace Financial and computer people. We have factory and distribution. We have people who run our business like a business. So I think that perhaps is our success as a company.
Yeah, but what I'm looking for is personal inspiration. Did you, in fact, spot Scott McKenzie in 1967 and say, this is going to be a hit?
If you're going San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. If you're going to San Francisco, you're gonna meet some gentle people.
You know, we said when we were planning this program, we said we'll play a little bit of each one. I've got a promise. That is such a good record. We're going to play a little bit more of it later on. We're talking in the studio now to Morris Oberstein, and we'll be resuming the conversation right after the travel news, which follows this.
Do you know how it feels with a great set of wheels? Get bored of it. That makes you live. No mile after mile, you've got safety and style. The strong and the tough. Tires hard to beat. Come rain or shine, you're straight down the line. Get motoring, get Michelin.
And at the end of the day, you know what they say.
Get motoring, get Michelin.
The music of the voice of Jane Markham now.
And the weather has certainly slowed down the rush hour considerably, and it's still very busy on many routes. The A410 London Road remains closed between the A5 and Court Drive, and a new section, the Spur Road section of the A410, has now been closed to traffic trying to leave the A41, and there is severe congestion in the area. Heading into London on the A4, you'll find it slow, particularly from Warwick Road in Earl's Court, and the A2 has a 2-mile tailback from the Black Prince roundabout in Crayford. That's the junction with Bourne Road. On the N3, if you're heading into London, I'm told that it's also very slow going between Junction 3 and Junction 1. And the A3, that's still got a queue on it from the Robin Hood roundabout. Jane Markham, AA Road Watch.
Imagine this. Take off with Alitalia from Heathrow at 4:30 in the afternoon. Arrive in Milan in time to enjoy a great meal washed down with a rich and mellow Barolo. Awake to a fresh new morning, ready to start your business day. You can even be back home again in time for dinner. There are 110 flights weekly between the UK and Italy, with an onward network of worldwide destinations, making Eurobusiness Alitalia the executive's choice. Alitalia. Brava, Alitalia.
News from in and around London at 9:31. Anti-terrorist squad officers are investigating an explosion at a travel agent's in Stanmore early this morning. The business is thought to be Israeli-owned. The explosive device, weighing only about 2 ounces, was pushed through the letterbox, and the travel agent's Cannon's Tours in London Road was severely damaged, but no one was hurt. An inquiry is to be held at the House of Commons after an MP's secretary drank water poisoned by corrosive cleaning fluid. The fluid, intended for the central heating system, was poured into the water system of an office block next to the Houses of Parliament. Here's Denise O'Callaghan.
Jacqueline Winter, secretary to Liberal MP David Alton, was rushed to the intensive care unit of Westminster Hospital after drinking the water. She's now said to be recovering. Fellow Liberal Paddy Ashdown complained in the Commons that the authorities knew about the incident on Tuesday, but didn't warn MPs or staff at the Norman Shaw South Annex of Westminster. Mr Ashdown interrupted a Commons debate to raise the incident. Now the leader of the Commons, John Biffin, has promised an investigation and statement.
Anti-Stansted campaigners are claiming the Essex Airport will turn into the biggest white elephant of all time following the government's decision to allow its expansion from 500,000 passengers a year to an eventual 15 million. They're planning a meeting to draw up battle plans against the decision tomorrow. Sue Forsyth, spokeswoman for the group coordinating 236 protest organisations, says the £500 million phased expansion at Stansted is a costly mistake.
I'm disgusted that any government can go ahead breaking promises this long. I feel that saying that Stansted will be developed in the first stage to between 7 and 8 million with the possibility of going to 15, and I believe maybe even up to 25, is really the worst possible situation for local people. It is going to bring them years and years of anguish and indecision, and I think it is monstrous that people can be treated in this way.
And a quick recap of the three main stories of the day. Mrs Thatcher is expected to announce a pay rise today for the nurses of about 8%. World football's governing body FIFA is expected to announce sanctions against English football today following the disaster in Brussels. Meanwhile, the English and Italian footballers are meeting for the first time on the football field since the Juventus-Liverpool game. They're playing a friendly in Mexico City.
London's weather, dull, drizzly and misty this morning and getting worse with some heavy rain at times this afternoon and evening. It's 12 centigrade, 54 Fahrenheit, and it'll move to 18 centigrade, 64 Fahrenheit. More fascinating facts and some more music, courtesy of Maurice Oberstein, right after this.
A week on Saturday is the Multiple Sclerosis Flag Day. The one day a year when the Society's collection cans appear on the high street. But not all the cans will be coming out, because some of them have no one to rattle them. We've got the cans, but they're no use without the collectors. If you're willing to spare just a couple of hours Saturday week, call the Multiple Sclerosis Society on 01381 4022. That's 01381 4022. And give us a hand to fight multiple sclerosis.
If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. If you're going to San Francisco, you're gonna meet some gentle.
Sound of Scott McKenzie back in 1967, another big hit for CBS Records, and one really, Morris Oberstein, that reflects the age so well, doesn't it? Flower power at that particular time.
It does. That's the joy of music, isn't it? That it gives us and puts us back into a place in time that we relate to. I think that's really the wonder that music does.
Now, I've seen you react to the records we've played so far, and you do react literally positively, so music means an awful lot to you. Is there a particular era, like the 60s, the 70s, the 50s maybe, or perhaps the 40s, that appeals?
I think the thing I like about music is the constancy of change, if you could put the two together.
Yeah, yeah.
That things move around, that there's something happening, and that's the pleasure I get out of music, really. Mm.
Your company's been associated with so many marvellous artists. How do you go about spotting the potential of someone who perhaps isn't very well known and who you may think we can make this person into a star?
Ouch.
Well, as I said earlier on, we're a business in the entertainment business, and we're peopled with field scouts who go out and look at acts 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We have people literally reviewing what's going on in clubs. We have people in-house, artists and repertoire people who are listening to tapes. And it becomes the combination of all the people with, I have to admit, at the top, the belief that that's where the money should be spent, having once identified the targets, and then following through so that the whole, it's a harsh word. We talk about machine, we talk about product, as if this, it dehumanizes the artist and repertoire we deal with. But those sort of words fit into place. Once you've found the artist, to drive through failure. Yeah. You can have Paul Young with us had two or three unsuccessful singles before we had the fourth or fifth record. It's just finding, it's making a decision to stay with the runners in the field.
Well, I'm sure you've made many, many correct decisions, but tell us a few of the big-name artists that you perhaps, by mistake, let go.
Oh, dear.
And they've come on to be big, big names.
I think that's probably a difficult thing that any of us who are in the entertainment business, the music business, face, that as much as we have belief in things, we can run successful businesses being right only one out of four times. I think our batting average is no better than that.
Yeah, but
so
it is,
that it's not a matter of the ones that have gotten away. It's the ones we've signed that have gotten away. Not a matter of saying, I wish I had signed the Beatles or the Stones and we passed. It's not that sort of thing. Some of the artists that we've had perhaps should have been successful, and I've been disappointed that they weren't as successful as we thought.
And some of the artists that you've got, indeed, even today, came up with quite unexpected hits. I mean, there are some artists who you appreciated and expected to do well in their particular sphere who suddenly loomed with great, great hits on the charts. Everybody at home is now, or wherever they are, is now saying, oh, yes, of course, that marvellous bit of music, but I wonder how many people can remember the title of it. The Concerto de Aranjuez. It's John Williams, of course, and it was 1976, an unexpected hit. But what a beautiful bit of music it was, isn't it?
Now, one of the pleasures it gives me is the fact that I'm allowed, running a company like CBS, to indulge my taste and fancies, and we're really a very broadly based company, and John Williams was one of the first classical artists who I was able to become involved with. We have jazz, we have pop, we have shows, but it's nice to be able to spend part of the corporate's treasury on something that I genuinely have a feeling for. It broadens our base, and then becomes, in this case, a 200,000 album seller.
That's incredible. You do, of course, have some very strange fancies, as the whole music business knows. There was one occasion, I recall, when you went along to the Rock and Pop Awards, and you must be the only person who stepped up onto that stage with a dog.
That's because there were so many voracious animals, our competitors out there, that I thought I should have protection against them. No, Charlie, my red setter, has been with me since I took over CBS. He was 4 weeks old, and I've gone through three sets of carpets that he's been office trained. And he's my ears.
But he's not with you this morning.
That's because I think you had a sign outside saying no dogs or no animals or something like that. He's in the car. He's listening now, I'm certain.
Is he?
Yes.
We better be very, very careful.
Yes, he and Shirley are there, I'm certain, applauding.
Maurice, do you, as an entrepreneur in the record business, do you actually try and find out what the public like and give it to them, or do you try and mould what they like and say, this is probably what you should be liking now?
That's a good question. I think if we did it on the basis of trying to follow a trend, we'd always be late in the day. So I think we have to be guessing, looking, feeling, moving forward, but not at such a radical pace that we're leaving the public, who are our customers, behind.
Perhaps it's unfair to the followers of Michelle Benadale Johnson, who join us at this time in the program to look for the weekly recipe, To leave them hanging on any longer, Michelle usually joins us a little earlier than this. We thought as we've got some continuous music going on in the background, we would actually put Michelle on a little later in the programme. But she's sitting here with a pot of something that looks quite delicious, looking delicious herself, with multicoloured hair this morning, I might
yes,
say.
Yes, you've got red streaks in your hair this morning,
and as
Michelle.
We spoke to her on Nightline last night and described to people the whole world what she looked like, I thought we'd bring her in and introduce her to Morris Oberstein. So meet Morris.
Good morning.
Good morning. You really brought your punk hairstyle. Haven't I seen you on the King's Road before?
Well, there you are. You didn't know about that last night, did you?
No, I didn't. Seeing you like this is quite a revelation, Michelle. It makes me think perhaps that you, of all people, unexpected people, might appreciate this. Signature tune for us, London Calling by The Clash. That was 1979. That's when it was all happening punk-wise, isn't it?
That was an astonishing period of time
wasn't
in which
it,
you
yes?
didn't have to play a guitar. You could be as tone-deaf as I am and still make a successful career in the music business.
Yeah, it calls to mind, doesn't it, Doug? What a complete variety of music. All the companies, I suppose, but particularly CBS,
yes.
turn out where you can go from John Williams to The Clash just like that.
Yeah.
And it's a major product. Quite extraordinary.
Yes.
Shall we pass on, if we may, to three letters which may or may not be familiar to people. The letters BPI. Now, people in the industry know BPI all too well. The British Phonographic Industry, right?
It's the trade association, of the record manufacturers.
And you happen to be chairman of them as well?
Yes.
Hmm.
Just happened.
What does it mean to you? Does it involve you in much? And what do they mean to the industry?
A trade association means a lot in the sense that if you are building a better business, then those of us who are in the business of individual companies can have a smaller share of what there is and end up with more at the end of the day.
Well,
what it means to me at this period of time is, of course, the problem we as an industry have with home taping, the problem that we have that an awful lot of our copyrighted material is being taken from us without adequate compensation.
You're very much involved in one of the stories, then, that we've been discussing on AM over the past few months, of course, and that's the levy on blank tapes.
Yes.
A good idea, you think?
I would expand it. We are recommending not only there be a levy on blank tape, but on hardware as well. There wouldn't be the hardware. There wouldn't be the double-headed cassette machines, the high-speed. They have no purpose in life. They'd have no purpose in the recording facility, most of them. So, therefore, we're really talking about a levy on hardware and software, which exists in many countries today. Germany recently has such a levy, and it's not something that would be unique to the United Kingdom.
Mm. Well, you are leaving CBS. You're retiring as chairman. You're carrying on as chairman of BPI. So you're going to continue taking some interest in the business, aren't you?
And I hope some people out there, once I've retired, will take an interest in me.
I'm sure they will. Are you going to continue to take an interest in records, generally?
I've always loved music. I admit that I sneak into Covent Garden occasionally, as much as I go into Ronnie Scott's and into the Marquee.
So you're essentially a jazz man as well?
I'm essentially a music lover. I don't want to be in any kind of pocket or bag of that music is any one thing.
The answer to this question must be yes, for a particular reason. You must like jazz to a certain extent.
Well, I have heard of Billie Holiday.
Yes, I thought you might say that.
Behind me and keeps giving me that shove again.
Yes, I've got an idea, Morris Oberstein, that Alison Moyet's been listening to Billie Holiday as well, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and I think she's got the world's most wonderful voice.
She really has. I looked for it on the LP, Alf, couldn't find it. How did that particular single come about? Because it is a single. A lot of people have thought it was an album, but it's not, is it?
Alison chose to put it in her live set when she put together her first show.
Yeah.
And it came off to an audience in such a spectacular way, an audience of 12 to 50-year-olds, an audience that perhaps certainly down on the teen market you wouldn't expect would relate to this. And audience reaction told all of us that she should go in and just make this record.
Which brings us pretty nearly up to date, and time for us almost to say goodbye to you. We hope, and we invite you to, that you'll sit in with Michelle in a moment to taste a little of what she's come to tempt us with this morning, if you see what I mean. First of all, we've got some essential business which follows this.
Remember this? This is the Lowe's DHL commercial. For super sure, super fast delivery, call DHL on 01994-6433. But now you know about us, we can turn it down a little, like this. California, here we come, all the way from old London. Mind you, this is just an experiment. If you all stop calling DHL on 01994-6433, we're going back to... For super sure, super fast delivery, call DHL, the super courier. What do you think?
The main news stories at 12 minutes to 10. The Tory MP John Wakeham is to remarry 8 months after his wife was killed in the bomb blast in Brighton. His bride is to be his 35-year-old secretary, Alison Ward. A Liberal MP, Paddy Ashdown, says he's angry over what he describes as inadequate steps to protect staff at an MP's office block where water was accidentally contaminated with gallons of cleaning fluid. A secretary in the House of Commons is in intensive care after drinking the water. The brother of the man who's buried under tons of rubble in a collapsed well on the Isle of Wight has cut short his honeymoon to stand vigil near the well shaft. Rescue workers are continuing to dig for 22-year-old Romanus Geranus as hopes of finding him alive now begin to fade. And Mrs. Thatcher's expected to announce a pay rise today for the nurses. It's thought they'll get around 8%.
Football will make the main sports story today as the world's governing body, FIFA, prepare to announce further sanctions against England following the Brussels disaster last week. They've already indicated that the punishment will be severe and certainly not just a fine. Here at home, the Derby race meeting continues at Epsom, and there's also racing at Carlisle. Here's Colin Turner's preview.
Only 8 runners will line up today for the Coronation Cup race at Epsom at 3:40. The number one, August, heads the list and should go well, even though he may be completely overshadowed by his stable companion, the number 8, Rainbow Quest. He was the star of the Jeremy Three stable last year, and after scoring a very impressive win first time out this season, when landing the Clive Graham Stakes at Goodwood, he's given the vote to take the prize. But look out here for a good run coming from the Ian Balding trained number 4, Golden Ivory. Number 6, Prince Lip from the Michael Stout stable may be good enough to land the second race on the card at 2:35. He just failed by a short head to Ratzern at Newcastle last time out, but it could go well. The number 7, Goldwire from the Barry Hill stable looks the danger. For with jockey Steve Cotton still on the high after winning the Derby yesterday, the number 7, Goldwire, will be there fighting all the way. Meanwhile, at Carlisle, number 8, Spacemaker Boy, who scored a good win last time out, could follow up that success by taking the 3:15 Barrowdale handicap. The nap for the day, that goes to number 8, Rainbow Quest, in the 3:40 at Epsom.
And some news, Justin. We've just heard that there's been an armed raid on a post office in the City Road within the last hour. 2 men, one armed with a rifle, the other with a handgun, are believed to have tied up or handcuffed staff during the raid. No shots were fired, and it's not yet known how much the raiders got away with. Police are now at the scene investigating the incident. AM time, 10 to 10.
Yes, friends, the choice is yours. Brought to you by Peugeot. Okay, okay, give them the choice. Would you rather be the proud owner of a magnificent Peugeot 205 in lots of different colors? Or 10 crisp pound notes, available only in green? Still want the money? Well, simply test drive a Peugeot 205 and then go and buy another new car in its class. We're so sure you won't do that, we'll give you £10 if you do.
The Peugeot 205. We bet you £10 that if you drive one of ours, you won't buy one of theirs.
Yes, friends, the choice is yours.
Your Peugeot Talbot dealer has the details.
And on we go to a somewhat delayed food feature this morning. Sorry, Michelle, as we had so much to get through earlier. What's more, I'm not going to be terribly forthcoming even now, as our resident cookery expert, Michelle Beredo-Johnson, was a little backward in coming forward when I asked her what the recipe was for this week. She did reveal that it was avocado surprise, but she refused to say what the surprise was, maintaining that it wouldn't be a surprise if she did. So, welcome.
Very true.
The question's obvious. What is the surprise?
Well, lots of surprises all over the place.
Don't believe it. It's a chocolate tombstone just come in through the door. In case
it's not a tombstone. It's a microphone.
So it is. In case you're wondering, I'm a microphone. Eat me, it says. And it's got LBC and cherries on the front. That is amazing. Douglas, what's this?
Well, there's a little champagne, which we thought you might appreciate, provided you open it, because an accomplished, cultured gentleman like yourself has opened many bottles of champagne in his lifetime. Here's another one.
Quite unexpected. Were we going to get a recipe for that delicious avocado surprise one time? I struggle with this, but do it while I turn the bottle on the cork.
I was going to say, you are actually turning it directly in my direction at the moment.
I am.
You do realise that, don't you?
With all the intent in the world.
Watch it doesn't hit one of the red streaks in her hair.
Okay, off you go with a quick recipe.
Right, well, my avocado surprise is nice and striped and multicoloured, exactly like my hair. It's all red and green, right?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes, see, that's what it's all about.
It all ties up. Sorry.
It's terribly simple. It's all...
To the man born, brother.
Now, look, are we going to get this avocado surprise or not?
Yes.
Silence, please. Right. Pour the champagne. Don't interrupt.
I am.
All because avocados and strawberries go so well together, which I discovered quite by mistake. So if you take yourself, the six of you, two large ripe avocados... Mush them up thoroughly. Add 4 tablespoonfuls of that really creamy yogurt. You know, the plain creamy yogurt, one of the kind of goat's milk ones or something.
Yes,
it's delicious.
Right. There's some Greek yogurt on the market.
That's
beautiful.
The guy. Mm. That's the guy. Mm-hmm. Some lemon juice, just a little bit of salt and freshly ground black pepper, and about 15 decent-sized strawberries. Mush up the avocado, add the creamy yogurt, put in the strawberries, a little bit of seasoning, and then add the lemon juice, stir it around, and taste it. Because, as everybody knows, I'm potty about lemon juice, so I always put far too much lemon juice in. Don't put too much. Just taste the whole lot. Keep yourself one really big, luscious strawberry. Put it into glasses, slice your strawberry, and put it on the top. And then you're multicoloured and taste delicious, just like me.
She's going over the top just because I'm leaving tomorrow, isn't she? She's never been like this before. Maurice Oberstein is just blanched because in his line of business, they never drink champagne out of plastic cups. Do they?
Nor at this time of the morning.
That's true. Just a minuscule amount, but thank you very much. I'm very touched. I'm just about to cut the cake.
You realise you're cutting straight through your name and AM on the top.
Oh, did you see that on the top? Oh, Bob.
That's the green bit, yes.
Oh, is it? Good heaven. Oh, that matches as well, doesn't it?
Yes.
Take it home, Bob.
Oh, well, no, I've got to cut it though
intact.
Do you think so? It's absolutely beautiful.
Right, you sliced off the vital bit now. No one will hear him.
I beg your pardon. Chocolate microphone. What's in the cake, Michelle?
Just chocolate. Lots and lots and lots of chocolate.
Yes, do you want some?
Well, I mean, you know, if it's coming my way, I'll just have a quick...
Yes?
Mm-hmm. Cut a piece for Morris.
Okay,
fine. Right. Mr. Oberstein never knew what he was coming into when he came here to be.
No, I had no idea what fun this could be.
If you're not careful, we'll play one of your records back at you again. Right. The recipe can be obtained from LBC. I've got to do my duty, haven't I? LBC, P.O. Box 261. Send a stamped address envelope in. I won't be here to be able to send it out to you, as is obvious.
I'm sorry about that, Morris.
Yes,
I know. He put out his hand and he got a huge dollop of chocolate on it.
And it's right in the middle of his palm. He's now looking around for his dog to lick it off.
You didn't expect it. Oh, take some up for your dog, Morris.
That's a good idea.
Sorry, all I can say is thank you very much, indeed. I'm very touched. And can I say that, are you coming in tomorrow?
You never know.
Well, I'll pop up tomorrow and I'd be very glad to see you, because then I can thank you in person. Douglas, would you like to taste the avocado and strawberries?
Yes.
Absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I want to see the expression on Douglas's face, because I like stuff like avocado and strawberries. Does Mr. Cameron?
Smashing. Yes. Oh,
it's
lovely.
Goes so well with chocolate cake.
Oh, it's lovely.
Maurice Oberstein, Michelle Beredo-Johnson, Douglas Cameron, thank you very much indeed. The time's 5 to 10.
You can travel on your holiday quicker and easier by the Dover-Calais route. 30 minutes by hovercraft, 75 by ferry, and fast motorway access both sides of the channel.
It's plain sailing all the way, and in summer, 100 crossings every day.
Jennifer, you know this imaginary superstore I've been planning?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, I think you do. Well, I've been thinking, as well as the huge delicatessen, we ought to have crusty loaves baked every day and a continental pâtisserie with delicious gooey cakes.
Yes, and those lovely handmade chocolates, coffee creams, I think.
Uh-huh.
The superstore with everything is now open. It's Tesco Brent Park, Neasden. Today's Tesco, tomorrow's superstore.
Not just ordinary chocolates, of course, the ones with the nuts on top.
Why?
Well, because I like nuts.
Jane Malcolm at the AA. Wish you were here is all I can say, really, but what's happening on the roads?
I wish I was with you too. On the roads, though, on the A12 on the Eastern Avenue at the junction with Whalebone Lane, there's been an accident. That's the Chadwell Heath area. That's holding up traffic heading out of town on the A12 at the moment. Very slow on the A240 Ewell Bypass as you head down to join the A3 at Tolworth. That's due to roadworks, and then once you get onto the A3 and head up towards the Robin Hood roundabout, you'll find a queue approaching that as well. On the A410 London Road up in Stanmore, you'll find that closed still between the A5 and Court Drive, and there is no access onto the A410 from the A41. And finally, very slow on the A2 in Crayford. Jane Markham, AA Roadwatch.
And for air travellers, British Airways services from Heathrow on domestic and European routes are well to time, but the flight from Larnaca, BA593, has a technical delay in Larnaca and is not now expected until early tomorrow morning. And on the intercontinental network, flight 262 from Kingston and Nassau is delayed until 1:05 this afternoon. No problems down at Gatwick on British Airways and Air Tours flights. British Caledonians flight 224 from Los Angeles is behind schedule, now landing at 12:45. Neville Powley, Air Travel News.
Thank you, Neville, very much indeed. Something going on at St Botolph's in Aldgate today at 12:40, from 12:40 to 1. The McCallie School handbell ringers are going to be there from Tennessee. At 1:10 to 1:40, the choir from McCallie School. And also going to be there at 1:05 is Paul Eddington, Minister for Administrative Affairs. He's going to open the Summer Fete at St Botolph's Churchyard. The proceeds for the crypt extension appeal. St Botolph's in the city, Aldgate, Paul Eddington at 1:05.
If you were listening in this section of the programme yesterday, you may have heard Bob and myself talking to a chap who's written a fascinating book about London walks. Well, we've got three for you today. The weather, I'm afraid, isn't going to be too kind, but nevertheless, let's plough on. You may be lucky. 11 o'clock, legal and illegal London. Inns of Court. The meeting place there is Holborn Underground Station. There's one at 2 o'clock, the famous Square Mile, 2,000 years of history, a really fascinating walk. That's a meeting at St Paul's Underground for that one. And finally, an evening walk, 7:30, Westminster, 1,000 years of history. And to join that one, please meet at the Westminster Underground.
Charing Cross. Thank you, sir.
The train now standing at Platform 6 will take you to the Eiffel Tower, the Louvre, the Champs-Élysées, Monsieur Jacques Snailbar and Cheese Emporium, the Moulin Rouge, Sacha Distel, Montmartre, Loche.
Did you know you can get to Paris from London Charing Cross in only 5.5 hours for just £45 return? Intercity Europe takes you straight to Dover by train, and from there, by hovercraft, it's only 35 minutes to Boulogne. You'll travel in airline style, with all the comfort of the train, right to the very centre of Paris. For a brochure, phone Intercity Europe on 855-7000. That's 855-7000. For details of European savers to Paris, for just £45 return. Intercity
Europe. And that's it from AM on this Thursday morning, with Bob Holness and Douglas Cameron bidding you good morning, and making way for Brian Hayes, his guests, and you on 261 Medium Wave, 97.3 VHF, 1152 kHz. 24 hours a day, it's LBC.
The 10 o'clock news, this is Douglas Cameron. Mrs. Thatcher's government chief whip, John Wakeham, is talking publicly for the first time about his decision to marry again just 8 months after his wife was killed in the Brighton bombing. Mr. Wakeham, who's 52 and who suffered severe injuries himself in the attack, is engaged to his secretary, 35-year-old Alison Ward. In an exclusive interview with IRN a few minutes ago, he said his late wife Roberta and Alison were good friends.
Roberta knew Alison very well, my children know Alison very well, and I got two small children, and we're very much in love, and I'm sure the right thing to do is to get on and live for the future as soon as we were sure, and we are sure.
Rescuers on the Isle of Wight have borrowed a doctor's stethoscope to listen for any signs of life from Romanus Geranus, the man who's been entombed at the bottom of a well since Monday afternoon. Rescue workers say it'll be another day before they're certain of reaching the bottom of the well. From the scene, Dave Loyne.
Geranus lashed together two ladders when he went down the well on Monday afternoon, and rescuers have been carving off sections and carrying them away as they slowly sink a new concrete well over his head. Now over halfway, they've reached his lower ladder, and they're tapping it occasionally, then listening with a borrowed stethoscope for any signs of life below. So far, nothing. They're pumping in air to keep themselves cool, but digging is easier now they've reached soft sandstone after going through 20 foot of granite at the top. Rescuers are tired, but morale is good, with the chance that Geranus could miraculously be still alive. Dave Loyne, IRN on the Isle of Wight.
World football's governing body, FIFA, is expected to announce sanctions against English football today over the disaster in Brussels, in which 38 people died. FIFA is meeting in Zurich, in Switzerland, and a spokesman for the organisation is warning, if we were just going to give a fine, we wouldn't call a press conference. The European football body, UEFA, has already banned English clubs indefinitely from its competitions. But the secretary of the Football Association, Ted Croker, is putting on a brave face over the World Organisation's threat. He says action against England by FIFA would be unjustified.
We've had a reasonably good record internationally in recent years, and we will undoubtedly be judged on that international record. So I would think it's very unlikely any action will be taken. They can't just take action without any incident, particularly to hang it on. So I can't see any action being taken against us at this time, but there's no doubt that if we had an international match and there was crowd trouble abroad, well, then we would be facing very severe sanctions.
Mrs. Thatcher's expected to announce a pay rise today for the nurses. They'll get about 8%. But the unions fear the government will rob funds intended for patients to give the nurses their money. The leader of the health union, COSY, David Williams, says the patients must not be made to pay.
We want to see whether the government is honouring what is coming out of the pay review body, and we also want to see whether the government is going to fund it, because the tragedy has been that the government is already saying it's only going to fund up to a certain percentage, in fact 3%, and if it does that, then of course patient services are going to suffer.
Independent Radio News.
Good morning, London. This is Brian Hayes with you until 1 on LBC. It's 12 degrees at the moment today in the capital city. Dull, dismal and depressing. Drizzle this morning and heavier rain from time to time during the afternoon and evening. The estimated maximum temperature just a bit below the average for this time of year, 17 degrees. Right, first, you and today's news. If you're a bit cross about something in the news, then you can share your anger with me and the rest of London by ringing 353-8111 now. 353-8111. We'll listen to you in just a moment. Just after 11, Labour spokesman on employment John Prescott tells us why wages councils shouldn't be abolished. He might tell us what they are for a start. Then at about 11:30, Conservative MP for Twickenham, Toby Jessel, will talk about the decisions on airport development which were announced yesterday. After the midday news and city report, the latest on car sales figures and some advice on buying your new car from Sue Baker, motoring correspondent of The Observer. Plus news, weather, sport, traffic and the latest from the city this morning on LBC.
Stop waiting, stop living. Come on to Schreiber now.
Now come to Schreiber at 101 for beautiful fitted kitchens and bedrooms. Come for savings of 50% on selected units you fit yourself. Come for our free measuring and planning service. Come Monday to Friday, 9:30 to 5:30. Come Thursday till 8 at night. Come Sundays, 10 till 4, when the parking's so easy.
Come on to Schreiber now.
Schreiber at 101 Baker Street, West 1.
To find out the fastest way of driving to France, we pitched a Porsche 911 Turbo against a Reliant Robin. Predictably, the Porsche was first to the ferry. But on the Dover-Calais stretch, it could only muster a top speed of 25 miles per hour. The Reliant took a slightly different route, cruising along on the hovercraft at 65 miles per hour, leaving the Porsche in its wake. If you'd like to go from Dover to Calais or Boulogne faster than that Porsche, call Hoverspeed or pull up at your nearest travel agent. Hoverspeed. Half the time, twice the style.
This is Mark Smith. On LBC this evening, cartoonist Michael Heath tells me about his first impressions of America. I'll be talking about women's poetry with Juliet Bravo and raving beauty star Anna Carteret. We review the latest of the cinema and on videotape. And in our star video competition, it's your chance to win a copy of the Clint Eastwood chiller Tightrope. Be with me, Mark Smith, for the best 2 hours of evening radio in London, starting at 7:30 on LBC.
Ready to talk? Then ring 01-353-8111. 353-8111. Quite a few interesting points in the news today that you might care to pick up. One of them we'll be talking about in a bit of detail later, that is the question of development of airports in this country. As you know, the white paper was announced yesterday by the Transport Secretary, Nicholas Ridley. Now, we'll be talking about some of the aspects of that with Twickenham MP Toby Jessel. But in the meantime, we're going to have a phone vote on the very simple proposition that, as far as Heathrow Airport is concerned, it should be this far and no further. Whether you agree or not with that, we'll find out as the morning goes on. Now, the LBC phone vote will put to you a proposition. We'll ask you to agree or disagree with it by phoning 353-5010. So please note that that number is not the number that I usually give you, the number that I give you to phone in to talk on the programme. 353-5010 to take part in the LBC phone vote. Please dial very carefully and listen carefully also to the instructions. Now, this is the proposition. There should be no further development of Heathrow Airport. Agree or disagree by phoning 353-5010. If you've not taken part in LBC phone vote before, this is what happens when you dial the number.
LBC phone vote. If you agree with the proposition, say yes when I say agree. If you disagree with it, keep silent until I say disagree, and then say yes. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Thank you for calling LBC phone vote.
Well, there it is. Please speak loudly and clearly and only once, saying yes to either agree or disagree, the statement being there should be no further development of Heathrow Airport. We'd like to know what your opinion is on development of Heathrow Airport, and we will, of course, take into account what you've had to say when we talk to Toby Jessel at around about 11:30. I think that if you say that there shouldn't be, then he'll probably agree, but that's up to you. We'll find out. This, by the way, won't go through till 1 o'clock, as our phone votes usually do. It'll go through until just before 12, which is when we will be talking to Toby Jessel, 11:30 until 12. So just the line again, so that you do know what you're voting for or against. There should be no further development of Heathrow Airport. Dial 353-5010 carefully. I say carefully because the number, regrettably, is rather similar to our office number. Right, that's out of the way, stocked up with coffee, and on to the telephone, and Paul calling first from Stockwell. Good morning, Paul.
Hello?
Yes, Paul.
Oh, yes. I'm talking about the football hooligans, actually, again. I know it's we keep on about it.
Yes, but I'm sure you phoned because you've got something new and world-shattering to say.
Well, I thought that, actually, with most of the first and second division teams in the Football League, the amount of money they're losing, it would be a good idea to put video screens at the away grounds and stop away supporters travelling. Like, for instance, if it was at Arsenal and they were playing Everton, then Everton should have a video screen and their fans could watch it on their own ground, you know?
Yes, you mean they could watch the game that was being played where they were and the game that they would be interested in.
No,
I see what you mean. When Everton's away... Let me get this clear. You were saying when Everton is away, the fans could go to the Everton ground, I can't remember its name at the moment, and they could watch on the screen.
That's right.
Would they do that? They wouldn't find that to be a very attractive proposition.
Well, I think if it was a nominal charge instead of a full entrance fee, let's face it, most of the hooligans, in actual fact, I don't think are football supporters anyway. So I think that most of the normal supporters, if they could still see their team live, as it would be, I think would go.
Yeah, well, what you'd have then is the real fans staying home and the hooligans would go away.
Well, no, because there'd be a complete ban. In other words, no fans could get in. It would only be the home fans.
Okay, well, all suggestions, I suppose, have some merit, particularly if the aim is to prevent the kind of hooliganism that had resulted in 38 deaths. Thank you very much, Paul. The subject of the C5 keeps popping up. Do you know what the C5 is? It is this electric tricycle, or whatever you care to describe it as. According to a report in Witch magazine, it is of limited use and poor value for money. It's also dangerous in accidents and too easy to steal. Well, I remember when it was first announced, a lot of criticism was put forth on this programme. I'd be interested to hear from somebody who's got one. If you've got one and you use it and you find it useful, or you found it to be a disaster, whichever way it goes, I'd be interested to hear from you. It's obviously not been a sales success, has it? What else can we talk about today? Well, we'll find out what Charles has to talk about now, and then move on to a few other things. Hello, Charles.
Oh, good morning, Brian. This comment, you'll appreciate, I'll make it in all delicacy and sensitivity, and indeed the greatest respect to the MP, I just can't think of his name, that after this tragedy in Brighton, you know.
Oh, you're talking about the Chief Whip, Mr. John Wakeham.
That's right, yes, that's right. As I say, with the greatest respect, he's marrying his secretary after 8 months. Well, the point is this. There has been, particularly in Victorian times, I know this definitely did exist, that one waited 12 months after they lost their spouse, regardless of being very much attached and so forth, and the human element. But there was this sort of waiting time. And there is another reason for it, if I may harp on the spiritual side, because I'm very associated with pure spiritualism, that when one has departed from this phase of life, because in this phase of life we are embodied spirits, and then we become a disembodied spirit. Well, it takes a spirit 11 months to kind of settle into the new surroundings, a new abode. And that was another reason for waiting the 12 months, another month for good measure sort of thing.
Well, that, of course, depends on the beliefs of the individual, because that may be your view. It doesn't necessarily mean that it is somebody else's, and therefore it doesn't mean that they have to act according to it. I don't know that you say, with the greatest respect and with delicacy, and I suppose, that you have got to be at least tactful talking about such a thing. I really do not know what it would be like to be in the situation where 8 months after the death of a wife to be considering remarriage or deciding to remarry. I really don't know what that would be like.
It's not my personal view, Brian. I just want to make that clear.
You're saying it's not your personal view?
Not my personal view.
Oh,
now,
whose is it?
I'm taking the accepted spiritual view, and I've read quite a lot of writings.
Yes, you're talking about the Victorian precedent that you pointed out.
You put the words for me. Thank you very much,
But the
Brian.
Spiritual bit, that was something you certainly agreed with. We'll leave other people. I'm sure that there are people who've been in similar circumstances and can probably talk from personal experience. Thank you for calling us, Charles. It's coming up to 14 minutes past 10.
Yes?
Hello, Beelzebub. Belial here.
How the devil are you?
Worried, old man. I've just been through the eternal damnation department, and you won't believe it, but it's cool. Not a damp brow in sight.
Yes?
Well, it's supposed to be hot, isn't it? That's the whole point of hell. Heat, everlasting bonfire, that sort of thing.
But now we've got Toshiba.
Bless you.
No. Toshiba air conditioning. It's a new wheeze of the old man's. He's put these neat ceiling jobs in every department. 3-year guarantee, easy to install. They've even got a heat pump that helps cut fuel bills in winter.
Heat pump? Now you're talking?
Missing the main point, old boy. Keep the damned cool and comfy, and productivity shoots up. Well, we're ahead of our fire and brimstone targets already.
Cunning old devil.
Yes. Yes, he is, isn't he?
It pays to keep cool with Toshiba air conditioning. Dial 100 and ask for free phone Toshiba.
It's Thursday morning in London, LBC, 10:15, and 3538111. I know we talked about it yesterday, the television series Bodyline, but what's happened now is that it's reached the leader columns of the newspapers. You know, all the bleating from people saying how one-sided it is, as if it was the first time a television series was from a particular point of view It just happens that this time it's not from a British point of view. Cyril is calling. Oh, by the way, I will mention what it says, this particular leader, later. Cyril is calling from St. John's Wood in the meantime.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Following the Brussels football disaster, the British government, in commendable breakneck speed, forbade the consumption of alcohol at all British soccer grounds. I consider that a common-sense measure. The Popplewell inquiry into the Bradford football disaster has strongly hinted that the cause of the fire was by a carelessly discarded cigarette. I wonder why the government has not acted with the same breakneck speed in banning cigarette smoking at British